I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's time for KNC.
What?
The real KNC.
It's called the only KNC now, right?
Best producers in the market.
Morning show producers.
Curtis and Ken. I love those guys very much.
Podcast stars.
Oh, how do you not know that? And you'd be like, ah, Curtis, idiot.
Lumpy. Come on, Lumpy.
Lumpster, you moron.
And now.
5:30 a.m. The real KNC to live radio every Monday, a half hour before the show.
Live on the air?
Live on the air. 93.7.
This place is going to drop in ratings.
Ken Laird and Chris Curtis on your radio.
I think it's a bad idea.
Here's Ken.
Can I just say something to you, Ken?
Yes, you can.
I love you.
And Chris.
Ken and Curtis aren't adults. They are sycophants. Both of them will try to make me look like an ass.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Yo, the real and only KNC, Ken Laird.
Chris Curtis.
5:30 a.m. We've still yet to promote this show. That's intentional. We don't want to beg. People come and listen to us when they want to.
Correct. On their time.
They seek us out. It'll be posted later. First, the report, Mudd is suspended today for sticking soap in his, was it both children or just the older kid?
It was just Carter, as far as I know, but it was a an absolute crazy scene after the show. There was parent services were here, child services were called to Chelmsford. It's a very messy situation for the Mutt Man.
Good news for everybody, though. He's off today, so that's opens the door for somebody else. In this case, it's Greg Dickerson, so he'll make it back for the second straight week against all odds. We like that.
Yeah, I like this combination. Dickerson, Wiggy, and Jerry, Mutt out, no Reamer. So I think the fans of the morning show on WEEI will be very happy to hear those three together today.
I want to talk about Mutt a little bit here in the opening segment, as we often do. Before we get there, though, the Encore Casino opened yesterday, the Encore Boston. They have a big sign. I mean, you can see the Encore sprawled over the top of it there, but you took the ferry.
Yes.
10 a.m. or what time? It was the morning at some point.
I got there at 10:30 yesterday.
Wow.
And they had a full ferry the first time that left a little early, so we ended up departing.
Where did you leave from?
Right in the seaport, right next to the World Trade Center. There's a 7-Eleven and a flower shop, and then the P-Town ferry is right around the corner. So it's this Boston Harbor Cruises company that runs the ferry for the Encore Boston. And yesterday and all week, free.
Oh, not even $7.
Not even $7. So we got down there. We were second in line for the next ferry that came back about a half hour later.
They only have one. They just shuttle one back and forth.
Right. And so
how long does that take?
25 minutes.
Oh, that's not bad.
And it's awesome. I mean, the ferry was spectacular. You just like go right around the harbor. You see the Boston Harbor Hotel, the whole skyline, the Navy Pier, all that.
Right up the Mystic.
Right up the Mystic, under the bridge, and then you come out underneath the Mystic Bridge, and you sort of veer to the right a bit, and this—it's like you're in a different world. This massive building. I mean, Jerry's been talking about it for years now, but it was.
I like ferries.
He loves ferries. I thought Jerry would have been in heaven. They had a full bar. People were enjoying that at 11 a.m. on a Sunday morning.
Nice. That's tempting for you on a Sunday morning.
Oh but my God! Yeah,
you held off. Good.
I held off. I mean, I couldn't believe that Mutt didn't like ferries. I mean, beer. Wine in the morning on the water.
Well, this was classic Mutt. So last week, comes up that you're going to do this for the show, and you posted it at Mutt Callahan on the Twitter feed. This great visual coming in that's got a lot of views right now.
Oh, my God.
More than Bradfoe's Slinky.
Turn on your toaster.
Many more. But Mutt's like, no, I've never taken a ferry. Then by the end of like the 30 seconds, he'd come up with 8 ferries that he'd taken at some point.
I don't think I've taken a ferry before.
Beautiful.
Never?
Down by the
no,
river.
That's not true.
You ever gone to Martha's Vineyard?
Long Island Sound. To get to Long Island, I've been on the ferry. Whatever that's called.
It's just a boat. I mean,
yeah. But I've never, when you go to Nantucket, I've heard where you drive your car onto a ferry.
You can drive your car and drive your Nantucket. There's also a fast boat that takes you without a car to Nantucket.
I've done that in Long Island to go to Belmont Park. Ironically.
You have? Wow.
Yes.
So Mutt has just not been to Nantucket. That's like saying I've never been on a plane because I've never flown to Dubai. Well, you've been on a plane to go elsewhere. You just haven't been to Dubai. I don't know. It's very odd.
Mutt's in an odd state, I would say, right now. This whole casino thing has emboldened him to the point where he's hiding VIP invitations. You and I both had invites that he just failed to deliver to us, point blank, period. He wouldn't give them to us.
It's unbelievable, too, because that would have been a great line, Mutt. It would have been a great weekend. I mean, a great event for our show. We had just come off a big night at Jay Gilbert's down to the Travelers.
Right.
Great trip to
awesome
Cromwell,
trip.
Connecticut.
Yeah.
We would have bookended that Thursday night. Huge VIP at this beautiful new casino right outside of Boston. And we get totally left at the door.
So did Jerry for a little while, by the way. But then eventually he got invited and wooed, as he should. I mean, he should be there. But it's a little bit of we're becoming threats to Mutt, I think, is the reality of it. You and I got a lot of airtime in Cromwell, Connecticut. We're becoming stars. We already were more popular than Mutt on the old incarnation of the show.
Absolutely.
And the new incarnation, I think we're pretty much, this would be an interesting Twitter poll, you know, who is more liked now, like Curtis or Mutt. I think you're a likable figure. I frankly think you and I should have our names on the show.
Wow.
I think going forward it should be Ken and Curtis with Mutt and Callahan, or Ken Curtis and Callahan featuring Mike Menansky, or something along those lines. I would like to start an official petition for such. I mean, you're on the show a lot. You are the comic relief of the show. If not for the Curtis wit, where is the humor? Mutt's not providing it, other than like unintentional humor.
Well, Mutt's unintentional humor is spectacular. I mean, Jerry likes to say,
I mean, who's your daddy is tough to come up with.
I didn't even understand that. I thought that was like, what's the podcast on Barstool? Is there some girl podcast, but it's not Who's Your Daddy?
Yeah.
It's Call Me Daddy or Call Her Daddy, whatever it is.
Oh, that's what he was
referencing? Yeah, so I don't know if that was a bar. Usually if
he's
I don't
got, like,
get it.
He's too inside for his own head. Nobody gets it.
Nobody gets it. And that's where the Pardon Mutt's Take column, which was your idea, which is a brilliant idea.
Well, you came up with a title for the column.
Right, but to have a sort of one sheet of just Mutt's thoughts,
yes,
to get,
yeah,
a little peek into see that little thing known as Mutt's brain.
It's dangerous, but we need it.
And we needed that. And with Mutt, it's so frustrating at times. Well, you see me in the control room. You know, we want Mutt to sort of get out of that shell, fight back. If Jerry's ripping him, fight back. If Dale's ripping you, fight back. And he just, that's so not in his nature. He's, I don't know, it's a bizarre situation right,
like,
now.
Like, he listens to us some, but then he puts up the tough guy image. And to be honest, he's become Little Dino. He has all these reads now. His greatest strength is he's got all these clients. He's Pitchman, Mr. Pitchman. So he's got some power. He actually does have some leverage. And he's becoming a popular guy in the gambling circles. I mean, Encore loves him. So that's right.
Caruano.
Yeah.
Right. He's huge in the Spanish-speaking demographic of Boston. But I honestly think that Mutt views Encore, going back to where we began this,
yeah,
as his ticket.
To his future
at Entercom in Boston.
And so, therefore, he didn't invite us to the big VIP event.
Right. But I do like the idea. Ken, Curtis, and Callahan, sometimes Mutt. I think that would be a great show. I think people would really sort of latch onto it, because I do think there is some elements of frustration with the Mutt Man out there. He was the most popular, probably one of the two or three most popular guys during the heyday of Kirk and Callahan.
Yeah, when he was the third man in, he was beloved.
Right, because he was sort of that underdog that everybody rooted for, and that, you know, he was sort of this funny, trumpet-playing, horse-betting nut.
Yes, yes. Then he transitioned and he had to become the a-hole, which he's done a pretty good job of at times, and now he's hated.
Right, and now people, even when he's right, he doesn't. The thing that I don't understand is, even when Mutt's right, so he got Gronk dead on accurate, nobody else had it as early, as confident as he had it.
That's true.
And that Sunday night, I'm talking to Jerry, and we're wondering why Mutt isn't. That is the reason we have Twitter accounts. So Sunday night, say, hey, idiots, Dale, you know, great job. Do they reseed? Do they also have Gronk playing next year? Whatever. Take a victory lap. And he has, like, he needs prodding to even do that. It's a very odd situation.
You were so dead-ass wrong, Dale.
I mean, he was probably unconscious on his living room floor.
Well, the alcohol is an issue.
There are some issues to overcome. But the worst moment of last week was this underhanded, condescending shot at Curtis. We're talking in the back office after the show, and we're talking about another producer in town who talks on the air, and Mutt is just laying into this guy, right? And he says, I'd even rather listen to Curtis talk on the air. Like, whoa, even Curtis I'd rather hear more than this guy.
Right, and the program director
dead
is
serious
in the room. He's talking to all of us. You know, we're just shooting the crap after the show. And Mutt says this. And it was so full of anger
bitterness. Yes,
and
very bitter.
Not a hint of humor, not a hint of sarcasm. It was this guy who happens to be the producer of Kirk's podcast, who Mutt kills. He hates Kirk's podcast. He rips it constantly. It's embarrassing. You would never say it to Minahan's face.
No.
But he does it to us behind the scenes. And then he's ripping Steve,
his
who's the producer.
Yeah.
And then he says, yeah, I'd rather listen to Curtis than that idiot or whatever.
Now, how did that make you feel?
Oh, my God. Well, it just proved to me that I am 100% in Mutt's head. He knows that there is some humor on the show. That show last week, this is following you and I joining Jerry and Mutt at Cromwell, Connecticut at the Travelers Championship.
It was a good show. We had a good time.
We had a great time. The show really worked well. We had a lot of fun, a lot of laughs, all of that. And I think he
and
feels threatened.
The wheels start turning. The monkey wheels start turning. And he starts to put the hand up. Right. Up. Back off. I got a lot of reads here.
I got the encore tonight. I've got this booked. You're not invited. You're a lowly producer. You couldn't even, you know.
I'd rather listen to Curtis. Ooh, I'd even stoop that low.
Dripping with fear.
I think you're an arrogant.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
And suspended today, so you'll get even more airtime. Now, I don't know how this is going to manifest itself going forward, but the program director is a big Curtis fan lately. He wants Curtis to host. This has been a pet project of his. Coming up soon, Curtis is hosting this show when Jerry's out. He wants to try. Well, maybe with Jerry in, actually, quite frankly.
I have no idea what. Well, Jerry's out next week, so I guess we can do a little show announcement here. Do you want to do it here?
Sure.
So next week, Jerry is out leading into the 4th of July. And so Tuesday and Wednesday of next week, Ken Laird, Chris Curtis, in this very studio with Mutt, who I think will be on coffee duty. He'll be going to Cumbie's a couple times.
It's the three producers show is what it is.
Producers.
And John Anderson will be here behind the glass. But that's basically, yes.
I'm doing both of your jobs at once those days.
Which is easily done.
Easily, believe me.
Put the run
You're both expendable.
But, you know, now that's tentative. It could be added to because Mutt will throw a fit when he sees that's actually the case. But yes, Tuesday, I'm looking forward to that. And the PD wants you to be in the big chair, going to phone calls, transitioning to topics, getting out, staying on the clock. So I don't know how you feel about that, but he's definitely in your corner.
Well, I'm a little, you know, my biggest takeaway is that Mutt's lead into this is he is going to scoff at my ability to take phone calls.
Similar
to how he says that, you know, only he could give top of the second scores around the league. You know, when I tried out and I said, you know, bottom one, no score, and I nailed it. And Mutt, you know, said there's no chance I could possibly provide in-game scoreboard updates for the Boston Red Sox. He will use a similar tone when discussing my possible ability to host this radio program.
Now, Mutt has also taken a shot at Reamer. I think we have this audio from last Friday as well, John, where he took a little jab at Reamer. Reamer took notice of this. I don't think he liked it very much. This I happen to agree with Mutt on in some form and fashion. I don't know if it's a personal thing there or if it's just if Mutt let's listen into what Mutt had to say about Reamer, then I'll react to it after.
Thousand. I would say after Reamer's performance yesterday, 2 to 3 a.m., it's not a good spot for him going forward, guys. Jerry was not part of this conversation, but not a lot of good feedback from the show. At least three of the four show members on Reamer yesterday. What'd you think of Reamer?
Three of the four show members?
Yeah, three or four had some questions.
I thought he was okay.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
So, you know, we got into it a little bit further. I actually didn't think Reamer was bad. It was a bad performance by Reamer. I just think the chemistry with Mutt and Reamer is not great. It ends up being the Reamer and Callahan show featuring Mutt a lot of times, I think, when Reamer's in.
I agree, and I think that the biggest issue is not so much Reamer and Mutt. I think it's the Jerry factor in the room. We did a show with Wiggy, Mutt, and Reamer, which I thought was a good show. It wasn't, you know, the greatest show of all time, but it certainly wasn't, you know, near the bottom of shows we've done. And I think with Jerry in the room, when Jerry and Reamer are together with Mutt, Jerry and Reamer, it's almost like Jerry's just biding his time to get into topics.
Yeah, let's get to AOC.
Let's get to AOC.
Climate control, as Wiggy would say.
Right, exactly. And I think that with Mutt in the room, he really ends up echoing what Jerry says on the politics, but does so in a less informed basis. So he doesn't add when they talk politics.
Right.
And so it's just sort of like this third wheel that's at this Reamer-Jerry date trying to find a way to get his way in. It just doesn't seem to work out.
It's the Real and Only KNC. It's the pre-show every Monday from 5:30 until 6. We lead you into the big show today. Mutt is suspended, so he's not in today. So it'll be a good, easy listen. It'll be a nice, fun listen. Wiggy, Dickerson, and Callahan, more on that coming up in the topics of the day after this.
At 7:02 on Monday morning on Mutt and Callahan, it was about Mark and Hart. Did you know that?
And why shouldn't it be?
I loved Zach Mettenberger.
I was just going to say that.
I was told to go in through gate D.
Oh, yeah.
I see gate C. I see gate E. In first grade, they taught me that it goes
C-D-E.
Man, best of friends, James and Hart. Episode 2 this Saturday. This is the Real and Only KNC. Ken Laird.
Chris Curtis.
We are live on the pre-show until 6 a.m. Dickerson, Wiggy, and Jerry in today. Mutt is suspended for sticking soap in his kid's mouth. But what did you think of day 2 of the Hart and James experience?
Oh, man.
Because it got a lot of hype last week.
What a boner shrinker. I was all excited. They really delivered with the first episode. Legit hate, legit anger at each other. And they were going, you know, The 30 minutes, the first 30 minutes of Dickerson and James was as good a weekend programming as we've had in a very long time, since you and I hosted years ago.
Correct.
But this week, I was expecting it to be a little bit more tame, but it was just a laugh and tickle fest.
It was tickle fest, yeah. It was a get-along. Here's the thing with James. James is very proud of his moments of adversity and his moments of confronting people. He had the one stare down with Dale,
right,
as he calls him Stale.
Which he was very happy with himself. He came right into the control room.
Curtis,
I looked at him right in the eye and I called him Stale. You saw that. You saw that, Curtis, right?
For weeks afterward. It's like Bradfo patting himself on the back for filling in for Cilio on that Saturday.
He's never mentioned that to me. Oh, my God.
But James does, he'll do it once. And he did get in Hart's grill right off the hop, but then he backpedals. It's like he's got one big bark, and then he starts to go into
C-D-E.
Yeah, just get along mode. So I think that's what we're going to get. It wasn't a bad show. It just wasn't fireworks.
Am I giving James too much credit by thinking that this was his sort of first effort to get Dickerson back in the fold? So he knew if he fights too much with Hart, there's no chance he's going to do shows with Dickerson.
Oh,
again.
He wanted to like submarine the
submarine show. Submarine the show, say that we're buddies now. So, Jerry, you can't say that we're best, you know, that we're going to hate each other and it's going to be good radio. So this way, he's one step closer to doing a weekend show with
That's
Dickerson.
That's a good point. He likes Dickerson because half the time Dickerson doesn't show up, and James loves that because it's just 4 hours of James.
Right, no resistance.
And when he does come, they have a good show, and they actually seem to get along other than the moments when, you know, Greg walks out. And
right. As long as Gordon's not in the news, they can do a good show together.
Which is not... And this week, Gordon is back in the news. By the way, we are presented by the Mercedes-Benz CLA with its turbocharged engine and exceptional price. Go from 0 to 60 in less time and for less money than you'd expect. Visit MBUSA.com for local inventory offers or to find your nearest dealer. Then we had Bradfo on Sunday, sans Wiggy. So it was Bradfo and Reamer. I was at the beach courtesy of Bradfo, which was an interesting decision by me in the first place. He gave me the free parking pass to Cranes Beach, which is great. But once you
did
start,
you see the strings that were attached to it?
Yeah, yeah. See, once you take the tag, the perk was I got to see where Bradfo lives. And he has a palace, man, and a estate on the North Shore. Entercom is paying him well, or he is siphoning money out of the Dominican somehow.
Jerry is going to be pissed about that.
It is an unbelievable place. It is well beyond
they
Bradfo's
means.
They
are lying.
I instantly went to Zillow and was like, wow, I can't believe this. Anyway, so I got to see where Bradfo lives. But then, you know, he's going to hold him. He did me a favor. Anytime you take something from somebody, then I had to call in on the show from the beach, which was just awkward 2 minutes. I didn't want to do it, but fine. But anyway, how was their show? You got to listen to more. You were on the shuttle over to the Encore.
Right. I have to say it was a very odd beginning. So I was unaware. It's my fault about the Bradfo Show podcast with Stephen Wright until I started listening Sunday morning when Rob was discussing Stephen Wright, his return to the team, his anxiety about meeting his teammates after. And I'm thinking this is all because of a domestic violence incident, that would be why it would be awkward to be around your teammates to sort of resurface in the clubhouse following allegations that were later dropped against Stephen Wright. No, he said that there was a stigma in the clubhouse among players and peers in baseball for those that may have tested positive for PEDs.
Yeah, for cheaters.
For cheaters, which... A, we still don't know what Stephen Wright tested positive for. That wasn't on the podcast, as far as I could tell.
He, according to Bradfo, he asked him and he didn't want to get into it.
Okay.
No, I don't know what that was not included on the podcast, I guess. I didn't hear the whole thing.
So
it comes off making Stephen Wright appear to be a victim.
Right, which was just an odd thing for me. A guy who allegedly was arrested or whatever for a domestic violence incident, and then right after that is busted for cheating in baseball.
Right.
Doesn't seem like a guy that has the greatest moral judgment. And the fact that there is some sort of unwritten rule or some written rule in clubhouses where it's frowned upon to be a cheater. I mean, no collection of people in the world rallied around cheaters like the players union did. I mean, no group of athletes, maybe unless they're, you know, Lance Armstrong, were more defiant against cleaning up their sport than baseball players. So that just seemed like an odd thing to be going on.
Yeah, this will be good for Wiggy to dive into when the 6 o'clock show rolls around, because I would think if you're an athlete who's clean, you would get pretty ticked off by that, and that would be an awkward thing to come back into. But as you say, it's kind of an eye roll. It appears to be in baseball, and more guys are getting popped still as the days go by. But you know, so Bradford had that. Reamer was a little perplexed at that.
Yes, he said that he questioned him on it. He pushed him on it, and you know, the other big topic this week before we run out of time is that the team is on its way to jolly old England. Wednesday, they depart.
Yeah, the big London trip.
To London. They're playing the Yankees. Two home games being played at West Ham's stadium outside of London. And first of all, I am very frustrated as a guy that lived in England for 2 years that I am not some type of intercom correspondent flying on the jet.
I know.
Heading to London. I could tell them all the places to go, all the great pubs, cabinet war rooms.
Instead,
you name
big shocker, our PD will be on the charter flight
right
out there.
And I got to tell you, Bradfoe is thrilled that Josie is on his way to London. So that should be an interesting part of the week.
Now, why is he upset that Joe's coming?
I don't know. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of pent up frustration on both sides in that relationship. But it's
Bradfoe goes anywhere he wants. He basically he's got his own separate wing. I mean, he went to Minnesota. It was a big series.
It was
he goes
jumbo set
Dominican trip every year. I mean, he shouldn't be complaining about other. It's pot kettle in that situation.
And a stick tap to Shaughnessy. I often criticize him, but he had a pretty harsh things to say about Ortiz. Honest assessment of the Ortiz situation in the Boston Globe this weekend.
Okay.
And I'm sure we'll get to Reamer's tweet where they told Alex about their journalistic standards when covering Ortiz at the Globe.
We'll talk Ortiz today on the show. It's Mutt and Callahan, sans Mutt. We'll talk about, of course, the big Stephen Wright incident, the weekend programming, I'm sure, of which Wiggy bowed out this weekend. Can't blame him for that. Got a weekend off.
Yep.
It's Jermaine Wiggins, Greg Dickerson, and Jerry Callahan. It's the revamped Mutt and Callahan. See ya.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.